Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome to the Lakers Lowdown. I'm Anthony Irwin. Today on the show, Anthony Davis dominated the Brooklyn Nets. The Lakers picked up their third win of the season. And now that we have seen AD do that, that has to be the expectation now moving forward. The Lakers beat the Brooklyn Nets 116-103 on the back of Anthony Davis. He flat out dominated. Now, this is a Brooklyn Nets team. It's a thin one up front. It's a thin one in general because they're still waiting for TJ Warren to come back. They're still waiting for Seth Curry to come back. They're still waiting for Ben Simmons to come back. And they're still waiting for Kyrie Irving to stop being a jackass. And yeah, the Lakers were able to take care of business. Now, AD, like the thing that Raj and I have talked about, I think, to this point the most in our time recapping these games has been Anthony Davis's shot attempt, especially in the second half. And he finishes tonight's game 15 of 25 from the floor with 7 free throws, no three-point attempts. But the 25 shots plus those 7 free throws means that that dude probably, you know, is attempting close to 30 shots on the night. And that's all I have been asking for. Is the errors of commission, not the errors of omission, not the errors of well, you know, it's not the best shot, but we'll rotate the ball around and we'll see if we can get an open look for like Patrick Beverley. No. Last night, it was Anthony Davis attacking and attacking and attacking and attacking. And that relentless approach is what won the Lakers that game. Now that he's done it the one time, that kind of sort of has to be what the Lakers expect of him. Until LeBron comes back, it's not fair necessarily. It's asking a lot out of this guy, but that's why he's a max player. That's why he at one point was considered a top five talent in the NBA. And again, because of the situation that Rob Pelinka has put the Lakers in, the Lakers aren't going to win unless AD takes this approach. And, yeah, it's only the third win of the season, and it's still an uphill climb, basically a vertical climb that the Lakers are facing now. But if AD is going to approach these games like this from here on out, if he's really going to just focus on just straight domination, that gives the Lakers the best chance that they can possibly have, given the task ahead. Elsewhere in this game, Lonnie Walker once again proved or made a statement as to him being the Lakers' third best player here. He finishes the night with 25 points, 9 of 15 from the field, 4 of 5 from three-point range. That's not obviously going to happen very often. But he finishes a plus 20 on the night. The only other players in that range with him, Troy Brown, was a plus 22. Austin Reeves was a plus 20. AD was a plus 15. But Lonnie Walker being that plus 20 was just, you know, he's been great so far this year. And as I've kind of said over the course of the season, all that I have been looking for here are playoff rotation players. That's it. Like, who looks like they are ready for that kind of a setting? And Lonnie 100% looks like it. A lot of timely shots, was still fairly solid on defense. Now, his stats elsewhere didn't exactly scream a bunch of productivity. Again, 25 points, only the one rebound, zero assists, zero, zero steals, zero blocks, zero turnovers is good. But that plus 20, I'm not the biggest proponent of plus minus, but when you're that level, like essentially if you are, you know, the Lakers won by 13 tonight, right? So if you have a plus minus greater than 13, that's a good game, by that stats, basis, right? If that's all you're basing the game off of, and I don't think people should do this. But if like you're looking for a place to start when you're talking about like how what plus minus might be able to tell you about a game, if your team wins by 13 and you have a plus minus above that 13 number, you probably played fairly good. You probably helped, you know, you made some plays over the course of that game that helped your team win that game. Some numbers that make me a little nervous here. Russ being a minus six in that in a game that the Lakers won by 13, that makes me nervous. It again points to like, and he you know, statistically is an okay game, 14 points, 12 assists. He did have the four turnovers, 4 of 15 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3-point range. Some regression to the mean there from Russ, given the way he has shot so far this year. But if you're just talking about like if you're sitting there at home. And you're trying to get into like the idea of looking at this stuff and looking at stats after the game and trying to tell the story afterwards. That's one way to kind of look at this is, all right, the Lakers won by 13. Everybody with a 13 or higher plus minus, those guys probably played pretty well. The people who wind up being a minus in a game that their team wins by double digits, that's kind of a red flag. So something to kind of keep an eye on here with Russ is, you know, the level of success that he's having, is it actually translating to team success? I would argue we're starting to see some slippage in that regard. But Lonnie has been great. And whenever the Lakers decide on a direction in their season, or like if they, so basically, what they keep talking about is this $30 million in cap space. One benefit of maintaining that cap space is they'd be able to re-sign Lonnie at a respectable number, even if it's not the most, I think, efficient approach to this next offseason. That would be one benefit. He looks like a long-term piece for the Lakers. He's totally played himself out of his player option. It would have to be a devastating rest of the season for some team not to convince themselves that this guy is a winning piece moving forward after the season. But look, that's all you were hoping for from Lonnie, given the contract that the Lakers signed him to. It's one of those where, you know, in the meetings you're saying, you know, we can't offer you much more than this, any more than this. We'll give you that player option. We hope that you wind up being too expensive for us because that means that you really performed well. But, you know, let's all try to make this work together. We saw that last year with Malik Monk. And given the way that this season has gone so far, it looks like Lonnie is going to fall into that category as well. I think Troy Brown also falls into that category. He finishes the game a game high plus 22, 9 points, 4 of 7 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3-point range. A few rebounds, an assist, a couple steals. And I think generally speaking, everybody like 6'6 and up played really well on KD, as well as you can, because that's still Kevin Durant. The Lakers tried to do the Patrick Beverley 3D wing on Kevin Durant, and yeah. Don't do that again. All right, now looking ahead, the Lakers have 4 days off between now and their next game. That hopefully means that, you know, we'll get a pretty clear picture on how LeBron is feeling if he isn't able to go after these 4 days. I think that would be, I don't know if I would go so far as to say it's like a cause for concern, but it's certainly something to raise an eyebrow at. I also think that over these next few days, the Lakers have to do some real soul searching and come to a conclusion one way or the over, one way or the other on this team, you would have plenty of time to ingratiate whoever it is that you pick up. You would be able to, you know, have a pretty good idea on how that season is looking. But what the Lakers can't do here is, again, continue to just kind of pretend as if everything is okay. Whether they choose to start stripping it down and start fielding offers for some of those guys, like I just like I got I said this the other day with Raj on a post-game spaces. The Lakers, you know, they can trade Russ and they can try to compete for this year, or they need to start fielding offers for Lonnie, and they need to start fielding offers for Troy, just to see what that market looks like, so they can see when it comes time where they're able to trade those guys, they can start to see, all right, what can they get for those guys? Can you start kind of restockpiling that cupboard? Or if the return price isn't enough, that's another reason to try to compete for this year. So I think these next 4 days that the Lakers have ahead of them before they play Detroit should be, you know, some real soul-searching days, some difficult conversations within the organization, and hopefully they, you know, come to the conclusion that it's worth it to compete for this year. You make that trade, you have a few days of practice to get everybody in and get used to playing with each other. And then you have that first game against Detroit, which is one of the easier ones of the season to this point. So you can get some reps in kind of a lower pressure setting and start to, you know, reconfigure the direction that the season was heading in. But, you know, I know you guys are sick of hearing about trade rumors. I know I'm sick of talking about trade rumors, but this is just kind of the situation the Lakers are in until they commit to one path or the other. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown podcast. Make sure you guys check out Can You Dig It? Jacob and Hani are going to react to last night's win. Also, Raj hopped on spaces and analyzed the win it from his own perspective. And then, you know, a little bit later today, I'm going to be talking to a good buddy of mine, Brady Klopfer of the Golden State of Mine, the SB Nation site that covers the Golden State Warriors. And I am going to talk to him about the kind of dichotomy that the Warriors are facing with this two timeline approach, and the one that the Lakers are also facing as they are taking a similar approach with a worse team for some reason. So plenty of good stuff here to come in the next day or so, and then on through the rest of the week as we also continue to work on our new Wednesday show, our roundtable I Love Basketball show. Make sure you guys check that out. It's going to be a live video pod that also gets obviously converted onto this pod feed as well. So keep an ear out for those details as they come. But until then, until I talk to you guys next, I'm Anthony Irwin, saying have a good one.